We continue our series this morning on stewardship, a way of life, and the message title this morning is The Heart of the Matter. And so far in our stewardship series, The Way of Life, we've discovered some surprising and some very interesting truths from God's Word. The last several weeks, we have been on a journey looking at our giving from God's perspective, and I want to emphasize that. We have been looking at our giving from God's perspective, and it's counter to what our culture normally does, because normally when we give something, we look at it from only our perspective. We've answered some of the questions and perhaps created some more questions in our hearts about what our giving to the Lord should be and how it should be done. The last 2 weeks, we've uncovered three of the four biblical truths about giving in a way that is pleasing to God. The first truth we learned was that the amount matters, and when we give gifts to God, He is interested not in just why we give, but also how much we give. Last week, we saw and learned truths two and three, and truth number two is in giving an amount that matters, we determine the amount, and God does not prescribe the amount, the percentage, or the formula for our giving. He desires for us to give from our relationship with Him. I just want to just share with you that sometimes when I'm reading and studying, I'll have the History Channel on for noise in the background, and sometimes I'll get caught up in these shows, American Restoration or the customizing of the vehicles. And there's this excerpt on this one show about where they take these old vehicles and they'll redo them all. And this gentleman by the name of Danny, he has given a guy a quote as to how much the restoration of a vehicle is going to cost for this gentleman's fiance. And if you've caught this, you'll know where I'm going. And it's about twice of what he was expecting the price to be. And this gentleman looks at him and he says, "I guess it boils down to how much you love her." And you know what? That's exactly what God is saying to us. I guess it boils down to how much we love Him. Because when we give out of our relationship with Jesus, it's out of a love relationship for Him. And what that gentleman on that excerpt of that TV show was saying, that cost doesn't matter. As long as you have your love in the right place, cost doesn't matter. And we don't give out of duty or obligation. We give out of our relationship, a love relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The third truth that we saw last week was that we are to each to give from our own ability. And friends, just as a reminder, each of us has multiple abilities from which we can give God. Our profitability or our income, our possession ability, those things that we own, we can give to God and leverage them for His use. Our paid-for ability, things that we don't normally think about. People buy us lunch and we free or have income freed up from blessings that we receive, that we can leverage those monies towards something to expand God's kingdom. And finally, our faith ability, giving to God through a relationship of listening and trust. This morning, we want to ask the question that so many people focus on when we come to giving and we talk about it. And the question is this: what about the heart? Isn't a gift acceptable as long as the heart is good? And if I bring a sacrificial gift to the Lord, does anything else really matter? And this morning we want to unpack what God's Word really reveals about the condition of our heart and how it relates to our giving an acceptable gift to God. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but in the Gospels, Jesus even told us that there was a time when we should not give. And yes, I said not. That is not a misstep by my mouth. Jesus said there is a time when we should not give. And if you brought your Bibles, I certainly hope you have, turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, and follow along. The portion of this text is in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus, He begins, and He says, "Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, be reconciled to your sister, and then come and present your offering." From this text, we see the fourth truth. And the fourth truth is that the heart makes the gift acceptable. Jesus uses in his teaching here, that it's very clear that God puts a greater priority on the condition of a giver's heart than on the gift that he or she would bring as an offering. He even said, hold off giving that check. Hold off giving that tithe. Hold off giving whatever you're giving. And go and make things right in your relationships, in those areas where you need to make them right, and then come back and present your gift. You see, friends, the condition of our hearts, it matters when we are giving to God. If the heart is not right, then our gifts are unacceptable to God, and they don't delight him, because most of all, God is after your heart. I want you to hear that. If it's one thing that God wants from you more than anything else, it's he wants to be the Lord of your heart. He doesn't need your stuff. He doesn't need your money. He already owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And quite frankly, friends, he owns the hills too. He doesn't need what we have. We offer what we have out of a love relationship to him. And if it's one thing and only one thing that Jesus wants from you and he wants from me, is he wants your heart. And we can look at the whole scripture, and it's God's account. It's his story of how the Lord has sought to relate to people from the beginning of time. How he has sought to be in a relationship with you and me time and time and time and time and time again. He wants your heart. He wants my heart. A clear picture of an unacceptable heart condition. We can find this within the story of Ananias and Sapphira, the biblical account out of Acts 5, verses 1 through 10. You see, if you'll remember with me, Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to give the appearance of a sacrificial gift. They wanted others to think that they were giving all the money that they had made by selling a piece of land. But what happened was God knew their heart. He knew that they were lying, and he revealed it to those that were receiving the gift, such as Peter, the Apostle Peter. And when they were challenged and given the opportunity to make it right, Ananias and Sapphira continued with an impure heart, and they both paid a high cost. God, my friends, makes it clear that the condition of your heart, the condition of my heart, it really does matter when it comes to giving. What are we giving out of? Are we giving with selfish gain, with selfish motives, or are we giving with a pure heart saying, Lord, this is what I have, and this is why I have it. I have it because I love you, and this is why I want to give it for your use. You may have even heard out of Acts 5, verses 3 and 4, within the context of a guilt-based message. And yes, I've sat under those, several of those myself, where sometimes people try to guilt people into doing things. That God wanted 100% of Ananias and Sapphira's money. But friends, let's look at the text here. In fact, Peter's rebuke to them, it clearly showed that the money they received from the sale of their land was at their disposal. I'll just read real quick, Acts 5, 3 through 4. Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart so that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? You see, they had full control. It wasn't the amount. It wasn't what God was prescribing. It was that they had lied and they offered this pretense of presenting themselves as offering this huge sacrificial gift, and it was a fraud. It was false. Peter goes on and saying, you have not lied to people, but you have lied to God. You see, God expected them, Ananias and Sapphira, to determine the amount, and their sin, in fact, was in lying about their gift and lying in what they had given. You see, friends, the condition of our heart, it's a matter of four things. And the first is forgiveness. Jesus, in our text, he was specifically dealing with the condition of unforgiveness and broken relationships. He said, if you remember your brother has something against you, if you remember your sister has something against you, leave your gift, be reconciled, go and forgive. Perhaps the opposite is true. You know that you have hurt or wronged someone else, and for your heart to be in a condition to give, you need to seek to be forgiven. Either way, friends, if we harbor unforgiveness in our heart, it will be impossible to give an acceptable gift to God. Now, I just want to caveat here. Sometimes in our life, it's impossible to be at peace with people. That's why the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, verse 18 says, as far as it is possible with you, live at peace with all people. But harboring unforgiveness, it's a huge, huge element and stumbling block in our journey with Christ. And it's something that all of us, I can attest in my own journey, my own life, that you think you're good and then something will come up and it'll transport you right back to something else. And where we need to go is we need to go to our knees and ask God to help us to forgive whomever it is that has offended us. The second condition of our heart is a matter of obedience. In Samuel, 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." From this prophet, the prophet Samuel, God, he was speaking through Samuel, and he stated that he desired obedience over an offering. God desires obedience over an offering. God has given you and I so much. Just to list a couple things. He's given us eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. He's given us forgiveness of sin. He has given us untold blessings that amount and mount up each and every day, that they're just poured out on us, each and every one of us, day in and day out. He's given us the promise of a new body and the promise of existing and not just existing, but living and communing in unhindered fellowship with the living Lord for all of eternity. God has given, truly, you and I so much, and all he asks in return is that you and I live in obedience to his word. And when we live in obedience, our hearts are right. They're true. They are pure before God, and our gifts become acceptable to him. The third thing that the condition of our heart deals with is character. In Matthew 23, verse 23, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you tithe," and hear that word, you tithe. They were tithing, and Jesus is calling them hypocrites. He's calling them and saying, "Woe to you, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin." But here's the reason why he said, "Woe, but you have neglected the weightier provisions of the law." And listen to the weightier provisions, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. Friends, we can begin to see clearly the picture that giving an offering to God without following through in our life, in our lifestyles, and the choices that we make, and without having the character that God wants us to have, we can give all that we want, but God is not going to be pleased with that type of gift. Jesus came down hard on the scribes and Pharisees whose character didn't seem to match their level of giving. In fact, Jesus was more interested in how they lived and how they treated others, how they served God, more than the fact that they gave consistently and sacrificially. I want us to hear that. Jesus is more concerned with being true and true and through and through. When no one's looking, what is your character saying about you and about me? When no one is looking, are we the same as when the lights are on and we're in front of people? Jesus was concerned about character. The writer of Proverbs said it this way, "To do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord more than sacrifice." And the Apostle Paul said it doesn't matter if you gave it all away, but you didn't have a lifestyle of love. 1 Corinthians 13:3, he said, "And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." You know, when I look at Trinity United Methodist Church and I look at all the opportunities to serve, you know, I can't overemphasize or emphasize enough that our service must be filled with love. It has to be latent with the love of Christ in what we do. Otherwise, it's just empty, meaningless service. It has no merit. It has no base. It has to come out of our relationship with Christ, out of that love relationship with Jesus that you and I individually have, but collectively have as a congregation as the body of Christ. The fourth thing that the condition of our heart deals with is willingness. The Apostle Paul again says in 2 Corinthians, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is," hear this, "acceptable." This is where I stumble. This is where I stub my toe many times, because many times God will ask us to do things that we quite frankly don't want to do. Been there. I'll be there again. And many times I'll be squirming in my seat with my head bowed saying, but Lord, anything but that. And God says, no. Are you willing? And if you're not willing to do what I'm asking you to do, then no matter what else you do, the gift that you give is unacceptable. Because if the willingness is there, the gift, no matter if it's your time, your talents, your treasures, whatever you're giving God, if you're willing, it is acceptable. And Paul, again, in 2 Corinthians 9, he says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So this morning, we clearly can see that the amount matters, and we determine the amount by our abilities. And it's the condition of our heart that makes our gifts acceptable to God. And we certainly must understand this, and I want all of us to hear this, that God knows the condition of your heart, and he already knows the condition of my heart. You see, God knows our motives. He knows our heart condition. He knows our character. And when we give, and we can sometimes fool people, and sometimes we can even fool ourselves and friends, but we can never fool God. 1 Samuel, when he was anointing King David as king, he was commanded in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, that God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So God knows your heart. He knows my heart. Jesus made this point perfectly clear. In Luke 16, he states this. He said, "Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were scoffing at him." And this is what Jesus said to the Pharisees. "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God." Friends, this is all throughout Scripture. It's all throughout Scripture. The writer of Proverbs again says that every man's way is right in his or her own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. And friends, when God weighs your heart, when he looks into your life, I just have to ask the question, because it's a question I ask myself each and every day. What does he see? What's going on deep inside of you? What's going on deep inside of me? Does he see a pure heart? Sometimes you and I, we're not even aware of the condition of our heart, the busyness of life, the noise of life. And yes, I said noise. The TV's on in the background, driving down the road, a radio on. The busyness of life, the run here, run there. It becomes and creates a distance from God. My friends, when we give, we all need to pause. Every single one of us need to pause. We all need to consider our heart. We need to consider our relationships, and we need to turn our hearts to God and give out of love to delight him. But here's one last great truth, and we're going to close with this. God wants to correct the condition of your heart and the condition of my heart. And I have something to confess here this morning. Many times in my prayer life, I know that my heart is wrong, and I actually pray this. Jesus, I need heart surgery this morning, because my heart's all messed up. My heart isn't right, and I'm not going to, you know, go through the motions and try to fool God. He knows it anyway, so I'm going to admit it. And the funniest thing happens is that when I admit it in prayer, it's instantaneously, my heart is different. My heart's changed. And that which is in my heart at that moment, it becomes transformed and changed into something that I can't even explain it. It's through the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that indwells you and indwells me, that God can change us. And he can take that which opposes, and he can deal with that. And that's exactly what he wants to do for you and me today. He wants to correct the condition of our heart. What's important for us to understand is that even though God sees our hearts and He knows our lives, He still loves us unconditionally like a perfect father. And all He really desires is that we acknowledge the areas of our lives that fall short, and then we come to Him and we ask and seek forgiveness. And then we can go to others that we have wronged and ask for their forgiveness, that we change the things in our lives that are out of step with who we are in Christ, that we become obedient in the areas of our life where we have strayed away. King David knew a thing or two about this. He committed horrific sins. He committed crimes against humanity. And he pens this. And he pens words in Psalm 51, and he asks God to clean up his heart. He says, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." You see, David, he admitted to God his mistakes, his failures. And when he came back to God, he admitted what he had done, and he asked God to clean up his heart. Why? So he could once again offer to God his life and his gifts, and that they would be acceptable to the Lord. Many times we miss this, but afterwards, David, he pens that prayer and he allows God to change and clean up his heart. And then it was only after that that David offered the most extravagant gift that has been ever recorded. And he certainly gave an amount that mattered to him, an amount that he determined himself. And he gave of his complete ability, but more important than the value of the gift, David wanted God to know the condition of his heart. He truly understood this fourth and final truth, that God wants nothing more than for his children than to come to him with clean and pure and willing hearts in worship as we give. In conclusion this morning, to put it succinctly, the condition of your heart, the condition of my heart, it matters. No gift can be acceptable to God if our hearts are not right before Him and we only do what we're doing out of duty or obligation. God sees and He already knows the condition of your heart. If there's unforgiveness, if there's disobedience, if your lifestyle is off the mark, if your focus is not on your relationship with Christ, Jesus already knows, and all He desires is that you and I come to Him in honest openness, confession. That we seek His forgiveness, His love. I just want to paint this picture. Jesus isn't standing there saying, going to say, "How could you?" or "Get away from me." He's standing there with arms wide open saying, "Come to me, all you who are wearisome and burdensome, and He will give us rest. He will never spurn us or turn us away. He loves you and I unconditionally. He will not condemn you. He will not condemn me. And He will not say, "I told you so," or "What were you thinking?" He will simply welcome you and I back and say, "I love you." Friends, when your heart is clean and right, then your giving is received by God the Father, and it becomes a pleasing and pleasant aroma that touches and delights the heart of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we bow before you, Lord, to recognize your sovereignty. We recognize this word of challenge. We recognize this dealing with our heart, the core of who we are. And Father, we also admit that we can fool people. We can even justify and manipulate and maneuver around ourselves, but it is not people or us that we can want to fool. We know that we can't fool you. And so we confess and agree that you know all, you see all, and we pray for strength, we pray for courage, that we would admit those things that need to be admitted and agreed with you that they're just not right in our life. So Father, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for your lavished love that has been poured out into our hearts. May we just build that. May we just encourage that and water that so it will grow more and more in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.